Praise God that we can praise Him with a true heart and a true mind. Let's pray together. Father, we come into Thy presence and we come to the throne of grace because we do have a high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father, as the Bible says, interceding for us. And Father, we pray this morning, as we worship Thee in a spirit and in truth, we will be blessed by Thy word and by the declaration of Thy word of the uniqueness of our Christian faith. And Father, more than anything else, we who believe are grateful that in Your mercy and in Your grace, one day You reveal to us that in Thee Jesus was the Savior. More than that, in Thee we need a Savior because we were heading on for hell. And how grateful we are, O Father, that in spite of ourselves, in spite that we were dead in trespasses and sin, You resurrected us. You gave us a new soul, and now we see. Thank You, Father. Yes, Lord, we can celebrate Christmas with a true heart, because we understand what Christmas really is. is the coming of a Savior in the likeness of men, as we read in the Scripture, to take our place on Calvary Cross. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Lord, in this special time, we remember our missionaries. And of course, Fred and Carol Lewis, who are preparing themselves to leave America back to Ukraine, bless them as they spend this Christmas with their parents. Father, bless our brother Carl and Ruth Knott in Huasca, Spain, along with his family for more than 12 years, serving the Lord without resting, praising your name and teaching the Spaniards how to manage and work in church. Father, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez in a vacation area called Benalmadena, close to Malaga, a very difficult place to have a church. Nevertheless, the church flourished with the Spanish ministry and English ministry. Thank you, Lord, for missionaries like that. Lord, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, as they expand to Gilroy, may the provision of the support come in, and may volunteers and people get excited about a place of refuge for those who are in need. And Father, for Ruben and Irene Zachert, as they work day in and day out right there in the Lodi area in California, bless them that the little church they have may really rejoice in the fact that now they know the Lord. And Lord, we pray for more missionaries in our way, that you will guide us and that you will give us direction. Who should we add to this list for the coming year? Father, I was on Thursday night speaking to young people who play the best sport of the world, soccer. And Lord, I enjoy to tell them about not to be afraid and play, and not to be afraid, just believe. And Lord, my excitement was not so much the auditorium feel, but the young man who was leading, a young man who is working with young people as a missionary. I pray, Lord, that you bless him and his wife and his their daughter Dominica. Oh, Lord, what a gorgeous young man in your hand. What a power there. Protect him and lead him to places where he can lead people to Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you allow me to visit with him and to enjoy the fellowship that evening. And now, Father, we pray for those who are listening over the broadcast, that you may bless each one of them. We remember the Faithful family, the Rotolo family, and the Tate ministry. Remember that Mrs. Otero is coming back on Tuesday night, flying the whole night to Chicago, and from Chicago in the morning, on Wednesday morning, flying back home. Lord, I'm just anxious to have my wife back, and it's such a beautiful and wonderful experience for her to share her life with her brother after 50 years of marriage. They celebrated. Lord, not too many 50 years are no longer celebrations, and how beautiful it is to celebrate the joy of your faithfulness in our life. And Lord, protect Raquel as she's flying, and give her peace of mind and heart, and guide the airplane all the way home, because I'm waiting. And Lord, how wonderful the scripture said that a man needs a companion, and you brought that companion to my life, and I thank you, Father, for it. And now, Father, bless those who are in the internet. They are turning in the computer to www.kkmc, and they are seeing, they are listening to our programming. Thank you, Father. Bless them too. Fill their heart with the joy of the Lord. And for us in the auditorium, oh God, I pray that this be a very special morning where we go home saying we really do have a unique faith in Christ and God, and in the book of the Bible. And when all is done, we're going to be careful, oh God, to give you the honor and the glory, remembering that whatever we have, whatever provision you have given us, is for the glory of God. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you.
God. Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 19. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 56. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Exodus 15, verses 1 through 19. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together, the floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Blessed is the word of God. Please be seated.
During this month of December, our series of morning meditations are centered on the uniqueness of our faith. Last Sunday, we talked about upon the rock. And we explain the value of those words of Jesus in Matthew 16, where he said that the church of God is going to be built, and it is being built upon the rock. Now today, I'd like to talk to you about the uniqueness of Christianity. And I want to center the thought in the one verse that our brother read here in Exodus, chapter 15. After the crisis, after the people complained because Moses led them right in an ambush, and in front of them was the Red Sea, on the right side the desert, on the left the mountains, and behind the enemy. And God shows Moses that in times of need, the only thing we have to do is trust his plan. And he crossed the Red Sea on dry land, and the enemy died, each one of them. But no one of the Israelites died and that crossing of the Red Sea. And so Moses in Exodus chapter 15, what we know at Exodus chapter 15, we have a composition of his praise to God. And I want to center on verse 11. He comes to this conclusion after seeing, after experiencing the hand of a mighty God. In verse 11, he said, "Who is like you, Lord, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, and doing wonders?" The uniqueness of Christianity. I want to talk to you about that. We can go through the Bible and spend days and days and years and talking about the special blessing that we have as we call ourselves Christians. But this morning I'm going to highlight for you three thoughts about the uniqueness of Christianity. Christianity is unique because we have a unique God. Christianity is unique because we have a unique mediator. And Christianity is unique because we have a unique book. So three things to remember. Easy. Even Anthony can remember. All right? God, a mediator, and a book. That makes Christianity unique among the religions of the world. And let's concentrate on this. And let me show to you what the Bible says about this, about God, about the mediator that we have, and about the book that we have. We should start by saying that Christianity is unique because of it is God. If you turn your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 10, you find Jeremiah chapter 10 in the Pews Bible in page 720. Jeremiah chapter 20, chapter 10. If you do not have a Bible and you are using the Pews Bible, page 720 is where you find Jeremiah chapter 10. And I'm going to read for you verses 10 to 12 to show you the character of the God that we have. The Bible says in Jeremiah 10:10, "But the Lord is the true God. He is," listen carefully, "the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them," and God is instructing Jeremiah, "the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens." And look at verse 12. Verse 12 describes the uniqueness of God. "He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. And he has stretched out the heavens by his discretion," or another word for that is his determination. Let's think for a moment about the uniqueness of our God. Three things are said in Jeremiah 10 and in verse 12 about the uniqueness of our God. Number one, has power. Number two, he has wisdom. And number three, he has determination. And let's look in the Bible. These three things, his power and his wisdom and his determination. If you move your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 19, and Matthew chapter 19, and in verse 26 in the New Testament, we have a glance of the power of God. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. Look at what the Bible says about the power of God. May I read from verse 22 so that you understand the power of God? Matthew 19, verse 22. "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. There was a man who wanted to be in the kingdom of God, and God told them the requirement, and the man left. He loved himself more than God. Then verse 23 said, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than from a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And that's saying, if you trust yourself, if you trust in who you are, and you trust in the things you have, it's impossible for you to come into the kingdom of God. And then verse 24 said, and again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples hear it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? Isn't that a great question? Verse 25. Who then can be saved? Now listen to the power of God in verse 26. Here's the power of God. And Jesus looked at them. I like that. Here's the disciples. They have spent a year and a half already with Jesus. They saw Jesus resurrecting people. They saw Jesus healing people. And they asked Jesus, eye to eye, who can be saved? And Jesus took a good look on them. And he said, with men, mankind, anthropos, with men it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. It's the power of God. We have a unique God. You are here in the auditorium. Maybe you're a believer in Christ. Maybe you're not. You are listening over the broadcast in KKNC, and maybe you are a believer, maybe you are not. You are listening to us in the internet and computer, maybe you are a believer, you are not. And you are listening to us in the tape ministry, and maybe you are a believer, and you maybe are not. But one thing I know, the day that God said, you will believe, you will believe. Because here is a God that we have. Irresistible power. This is the God that we have. That's why we come and pray for those who are not saved. Because when God in his mercy touch our life, there is nothing that, from us that can resist the power of God. He melts us. He gets that dead soul and give life. And when we got the life from within, then we love the Bible and we love the Jesus of the Bible. Now that's the power of God. That's what Moses said, great in power. Remember in Exodus 15 and in verse 11, great in power. That's what Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 12 said, who made the earth, who made the earth by his power. God does have power to save. God does have power to save. And nobody will resist God if God wants you into his kingdom. It's not fantastic. So you don't have to explain to God anything. You don't have to give God anything. What you have to do is say, God, have mercy on me. Unload that power. Or in computer terms, download that power of me. If you use computers. All right? Download that power, Lord. I'm an unbeliever. It's impossible for me to understand the mysteries of God. But if you want God, oh God, please download that power and I will believe. I tell you, that's the way it is. That's the uniqueness of Christianity. You don't have to do anything. God does everything. Oh, how grateful we are. Now let's talk about God's wisdom. Jeremiah 10 verse 12 said, he has established the world by wisdom. If you move your Bible to the book of Romans, page 837, and the book of Romans in chapter 11, the book of Romans in chapter 11, verse 33 to 36, you see here the great statement made by the Apostle Paul concerning the wisdom of God. I was listening, now they have a dish, I can listen to the European broadcast, and I was enjoying a soccer game last night from Germany against Italy, and then I switched to the Arabian broadcast to practice my language, and the minister of Syria said, the Secretary of State of Syria said, what we need between Israel and Syria is not so much a diplomat, but a man of wisdom who will understand the Syrian and understand the Israelite. Well, here's a man of wisdom. Listen to this word. Romans chapter 11, Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And then making a quotation from Isaiah 40, the apostle said, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? And then he switched to a quotation from the book of Job in chapter 41. And he said, all who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. In other words, who taught God anything? Verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a God that we have. It's a God so unique. Nobody taught our God. Nobody showed anything our God. He is the beginning of the beginning. This is Christianity. Now, what about his determination, his discretion? Remember Jeremiah 10 and verse 12 said, and has stretched out the heaven as his discretion. In other words, I listened to NASA, the depression of those engineers as they expected that little machine will land on Mars and reveal that there is water someplace. There's so much water in the earth. I don't know why they're looking over there. But they said they're going to find water and then find the origin of life. How much money? $4 billion or something like that. And right here for 1895, I can tell, show them where life come from. I wrote a letter to my president last night. So for 1895, I send you a Bible, mark no charge, and you will find out where you find water. Well, Abraham, was Abraham concerned, all right? He was Abraham concerned. Remember, water is a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And Abraham's concern is to get water. And Abraham left for his family 12 wells of water, a picture of that Abraham left to the family an inheritance of the fullness of God. It's tremendous to look for water. But no, in Mark, here in the earth. But I want to say this. God stretched the heaven at his discretion. And when this little machine went up to heaven, and God pushed it to the other place. Simple like that. God does what he wants to. That's what Jeremiah is saying. If you don't believe me, look with me in 1 Timothy in the Bible. Page 876, 1 Timothy chapter 2. We talked a little bit about this, but listen carefully. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul is teaching Timothy, and is teaching Timothy how to understand God's work. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, page 876, the Bible said in verse 4, who desires God, who determines, actually, Buloma, who determines all men, should be read, all kinds of men, anthropos. No aner, aner will be, the everybody will be saved. But he said, who determines that all kinds of men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But here's the condition. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Is it? God has determination. He stretches out the heavens and he stretches out his kingdom, and his kingdom will not be only of Israel. That's what God is saying. Not only the Israelites will be in his kingdom, he stretches out his hand, and you and me who are born from different races are part of his kingdom. As I look into our congregation, we find people from Asia and people from Latin America and people from Europe. And if you look into your background, your ancestors have come from different directions. And God has power at his discretion to save people, all kinds of people, no matter where they are born. Isn't that fantastic? To me, that gave me an opportunity to say I can share the gospel with anybody, even include the Americans, because God has power to save them. the uniqueness of my God. I don't have to belong to a special race. I don't have to belong to a special class. I don't have to belong to a special church. If God wants to, He saves me. It's not fantastic. It is fantastic. Excite me. I can pass a tract any place in the world knowing that God has power to save anybody in the world. It's just absolutely, never heard about it. The uniqueness of Christianity is that we have a God who is universal, and a God who has a power, unlimited power, a God who has unlimited wisdom, and a God who has unlimited will. Now, the uniqueness of Christianity advanced that we have a unique mediator. Now, isn't it amazing? I looked in the book of history, and all the religions of the world agree in this, that you cannot go to God directly. And some of the religions say because He's too mighty and would not look to you. And other religions say because He's so big and He would not listen to you. You need an intercessor, say one book. Another book said you need a mediator. Another book, more contemporary, said you need a screen between you and this mighty man, God, so that you can communicate with Him. Well, the Bible, remember Exodus 15:11? We have a holy God. And if we stand before the presence of a holy God, we will be consumed by fire like the altar in 1 Kings 19. Remember? When Elijah prayed and there were all these unbelievers around, when God came down, zip, the whole thing was melted. Now, how come you and I can pray in your home, in our church, and your work, and we are not consumed? You can talk to God, and you are not consumed. You are not affected because we have a mediator. It's amazing that all the religions of the world have created a mediator. Islamic have Muhammad as a mediator. Iran has Baha as a mediator. See, always they picture a man interceding for God, not knowing that a man is a man. Doesn't matter what religion you are, a man is a man. We need a mediator. Let me show you in John 14, page 793. John 14 and in verse 6. Many of you know these texts by memory, include my friend, my assistant in chief, Anthony. Here it is. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to Thomas, see, Thomas was excited about Jesus' departure. And Thomas asked the Lord in verse 5 in John 14, Lord, we do not know where you are going. Is it not sad when Christians do not know where Jesus is going? We don't know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Because Jesus said, you know the way. How can we know the way? Then Jesus said unto him, John is the way. Peter is the way. Timothy is the way. What did he say? Jesus said, I am the way. I ni roho. I am the way. So Jesus is the way. He is the only way. He did not say, I am a way. Notice that. He said, I am the way. Each time you have the article the, that means is unique. There is no two possibilities. When you say the house, that means there is no other house except that one. If you say a house, could be any house. But if you say the house, then it's only one house. And see, Jesus said, I am the way. No, Muhammad. No Peter, no John, no anybody. I am the way. I am the way to the Father. And if you don't come through me, you don't see the Father, period. That's it. If you want to go through the back door and do good works in order to reach the Father, maybe you spend your life in a handsome way here on earth, but you will not spend the life in heaven. Because good works, compared to God, are like filthy rags, said the Bible. And so Jesus said, I am the way, the only way. So here's our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Now, there is another verse I want to share with you. that why he is the only way is in the book of Acts, in chapter 4, page 803 in your Bible. In Acts chapter 4, Jesus in verse 12, Peter, that some people think that he was the imaginary apostle that led the other apostles, and he was a chicken out apostle. He was an apostle who was in charge of, was James, and not Peter. Now, here's what it is, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Look at what Peter said. Nor is there salvation in any other, talking about Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven. You got that one? Include the name of the apostles, by the way. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If somebody give you a name and say, trust Pastor Otero, he will lead you into heaven. That's a lie. Trust this man, he will lead you into heaven. That's a lie. There is no other name given to man under heaven. And so, the uniqueness of our mediator, the Lord Jesus, he's the only way. He's the only Savior. He's the only Savior. Don't trust anybody. Don't put your eyes in somebody. Put your eyes upon Jesus, said the Bible. Looking unto Jesus, the outer and finisher of our faith, see the book of Hebrews. Now, why? You know, my granddaughter now is going to be 11 today, 11 years old, Jacqueline. You talk to her 2 minutes and she will say, why? You have to be ready. I always have Bibles, Book of Science, because she's studying now physicists and so on. So I have books and so on. And because she will ask me something I forgot. And she will say, why? See, like if we were studying matter. Matter was divided in 1945 and discovered that the atom can be divided. And she said, why? You know, like that. Now, why Jesus the only way? Well, go back to John 14 again, please, with me, and I show it to you clearly. And look at how beautiful it is in John 14 and in verse 1, what Jesus went to do in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled, John 14, verse 1. You believe in God? Believe also in me. See, some people say, oh, I believe in God. Then you have to ask them, which God? Because if they believe in God independent of the Lord Jesus, then they really do not believe in God. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I will have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, we have a unique mediator because he is the only way, because he is the only Savior, and because he is the only one who prepared a place for us in heaven. He's the only one. Your good works do not prepare a place in heaven. Isaiah said, they are filthy rags. Any man do not prepare a place in heaven because he need a mediator. But Jesus did. And he went into the presence of God and he sit down at the right hand of the Father. And when you die, you don't need any special unction. Your place, if you have come to believe in Jesus, your place is already secure. You already have the key, Jesus, who opened the door and welcomed you into his very presence. Now, that's only Christianity. Christianity has a very, very unique God, and Christianity have a very unique mediator. Do not belong to mankind, do not belong to this earth, belong to heaven. The same God that provoked us into salvation is the God who lead us into salvation. It's remarkable, remarkable. But above anything else, Christianity have a unique book. Christianity have a unique book. Why? Three things. Number one, the Word of God, this Bible of yours, is the standard of our faith. I just want to drop some information from what is called textual criticism. I'm doing an special study for the British people, a little book, well, about 12 volumes book, called Which Bible? And I'm researching. I had the privilege yesterday to have in my hand a very precious manuscript from the year 290 and to look on it and to produce a translation, a literal translation of what God wrote. In the year 70 before Christ, the Bible that was known to everybody for 1,000 years was the Bible you have in the Old Testament, the 39 books of the Bibles. They became known in the years of Jesus as the Masoretic Text. 70 years before Christ, the Bible was translated into Greek. That was the first translation of the Bible. It's called the Septuagint. 70 years before, Septuagint means 70. 70 years before Christ. And in that Bible, this Christ took the liberty to put other books of the Bible, seven of them. And that's what is called in theology, deuterocanonical, means added to the canon. And then the New Testament was composed in the year 458. And a meeting of pastors, they approved 27 books of the Bible. The two hard books to approve finally was James and Revelation. And finally, they accepted. So the Bible for 400 years of the first century was the Bible that you have today. A Bible with 66 books. Now, that you know it, let me tell you how serious is Christianity about the book. This book that we have is the standard for life. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 8 and in verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8. In verse 20, look at what the Bible says. I think it's page 793, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe I'm mistaken. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they, God is talking to Isaiah, if they do not speak according to this word, you got it? It is because there is no light in them. Isn't that a clear verse? When somebody come to you and want to speak to you, not from the book, but from any source, tradition, history, philosophy, psychology, whatever source they have, in addition to the Bible, what the Bible said, there is no light in them. Wow! So when you talk to somebody, you know if the person is ready to listen or not by listening to the Bible. And so the Christianity is unique because God has a unique God, a unique mediator, and a unique book. The standard for our faith is the Bible. Now, it is true, Christianity is 2,000 years old. Mohammedanism is 1,459. Each religion dates their years from the time of their liberator. Judaism is 5,459, the year of Abraham. Everybody picks up a man who found it and makes the calendar in this way. Dionysius, a pope of the Roman Catholic Church in the year 460, decreed that Christianity should rule the world and should start with Jesus' birthday on the Gregorian calendar on the year 1. And so Christianity measured their years from Christ. But I tell you something. It doesn't matter where you measure the years. Doesn't matter what you do. Nothing outside the Bible is good. The only thing the Bible says is good is the Bible. The Bible. And so if somebody comes to you and says, let me explain it to you. And he opened a confession of faith, which the Reformers did. Unfortunately, the Reformation in the year 1500 exploded against Roman Catholicism because they went bananas with their worshiping of God. And then the Reformation came in. But you go by the year 1800 and the Reformation is doing the same. The Reformation is taking confessions of faith and declarations of the fathers and all these and are making that the Bible. And that's wrong. And that's wrong. The Bible is the Bible. No, you can listen to anybody. You can read anything you want to. But like my professor say in the seminary, there are 25,000 volumes in this seminary. But each time you walk in the library, carry your Bible. Whatever you read, be sure it's here. Because if it's not here, it's not true. It's not what we read in Isaiah. Isaiah's a little more stronger. You know what Isaiah is saying? In Isaiah 8:20, he's saying, if somebody come to you and try to teach you about God without the Bible, he's an unbeliever yet. He's an unbeliever. He had no light. Having light means God has enlightened you. Wow. I don't want to be so strong, but I have to. Christianity is unique because of the book, a standard of faith. Also, the word is the standard for revelation. Turn your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, please, in chapter 4. This is easy to find right there at the beginning of the Bible. The fifth book of the Bible is Deuteronomy chapter 4. The Bible is the standard for revelation. This will solve some problems today. Here's what the Bible said in Deuteronomy 4, verse 1 and 2. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes. That's another name for the Bible. By the way, the word Bible is a copy of the Greek word biblios. Biblios in Greek means Bible, book. See? And we say Bible. Bible means book. All right? Here it is. O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments. According to Psalm 119, these are names for the Bible, which I teach you to observe that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God, your Father, has given you. And look at the counsel. You shall not add to the words which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Is that clear? I cannot come to you and said, Church of God, I'm alone in home. My wife's on vacation, and I have spent time with the Lord, and I got a new revelation for you. If I come like this to you, you say, Pastor, you need coffee again. See, I'm wrong. I cannot say to you, the Lord told me, unless I said, the Lord told me, and I read the scripture. Then I can say, I can validate that to you. See, the Bible is a revelation, friends. We don't need a guru to reveal anything to you. We don't need a group of cardinals to tell us what the Bible said. We don't need a group of scholars in the 1800s to tell us what the Bible says. We don't need any man to tell what the Bible said. You know who tells you what the Bible said? The Holy Spirit. If you are a believer, you read the scripture. And I keep saying, I remember talking to our brother Spirakis one time, and I said, Spirakis, this is what you do. If you don't understand, keep on reading. Keep on reading. How long? Keep on reading until you finish. And if you don't understand, start all over again. And ask God for mercy that he will open your mind, and he will. Unless God open your mind, no man will have a revelation. Finally, the book is unique. Because it's the standard for pastors. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible is unique because it's the standards for pastors. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Dr. Paul, as we will call him today, with 3 diplomas in philosophy, write to his young minister, Timothy. And he said in verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. How you do that? How do you, pastor, present yourself? This is for pastors. How a pastor, a Sunday school teacher who teaches the word of God, how do you present approved to God? Here it is. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? No tradition, no book of histories, no confessions of faith, rightly dividing the word of God. Sunday school teachers, I hope we have a material written in a combination of scholars in which I participate. But that material is just a guideline. I hope that when you prepare your lesson, you go into your Bible and you go into your concordance or whatever you use to combine, and you come up with a lesson with a scripture. Because if you come up with the scripture, then you have power. That's what they said. The book is unique. So now I'm going to wrap up the whole thing. The uniqueness of Christianity. We have a unique God. He has power to save. We have a unique mediator. He leads the way. And we have a book who is our authority. Now, all of this is wonderful. It makes Christianity unique among the religions of the world. But there is something that I want to share with you more. Christianity is unique because it teaches that eternal salvation is a gift of God. Let me show you what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1. Eternal salvation is a gift of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19, eternal salvation is a gift of God. Look at what the scripture said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed, that's another word for salvation, with corruptible things like what? Silver or gold. From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Have you read the Mercury on Friday, on Saturday? They have an article on religion. The Mexicans are fighting about the Virgin of Fatima. Did Mary give Fatima this or give the other? Well, we know what happened. The Virgin of Fatima was an invention of the Catholic Church. They put it on the top of the hill so they can own the property. And now some of the priests wake up and say, we want that property back. What a mess do we make? What a mess that we make. And who knows what the Protestant did? What a mess that we make when we deviate from the book, I tell you. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your endless conduct received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Ladies and gentlemen, you take the Bible away, you take Christ away, and we have a mess. The uniqueness of Christianity is that we have a unique God. He can save. He can save. He can save your son who is rebellious. He can save your daughter who is rebellious. He can save your neighbors. He can save. He can save. We have a great mediator. The Bible said in John 6, when God the Father sends somebody to Jesus, he will not reject it. Believe me. He said, I take it and I resurrect it on the last day. And then we have a book for the rest of our lives so that we can walk in our life. And it's good to come to church and listen to the sermon. But I bet you be like the Bereans. You go home and say, that was the pastor right or wrong? And then you check me with the book. Not with anything else. Oh, I tell you. I'm just going to proclaim this until I die. I just have a revival myself alone because I can wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, going around the house and, you know, seeing the raccoons around my house. And it's just... amazing. The neighbor think I'm lost. They ask my neighbor, when Raquel is coming, so you become normal. I'm in love with God. I'm in love with God. Are you? Have you the revelation from God? No, I mean special crisis. Have the Bible talked to you about God? If not, it's possible. If you pray and you humble yourself and you say, God, you who have power, who stretch the universe as far as you want to, open my heart and give me Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're in love with Christianity because it's unique. We have a powerful God. We have an unlimited mediator. And we have a book that can guide us and lead us in this world and in the world to come. For all of these, we praise your name in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you for leading us into the truth of thy word. The excitement that those who believe have a mighty God, an eternal mediator, and a consistent book that will guide our life and counsel our life. We pray for those who believe not, that in your mercy you will give them light to see the light. And in seeing the light they may believe. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that you touch our life today. We will celebrate this Christmas with real value, the value of an eternal redemption, the value of a great Savior, the value of a great protector, thy book. Thank you, Father. Now bless us as we go to our homes, as we have our luncheon, and as we gather later on back into the place. May the name of God be praised. In Jesus we pray. Amen.